on KIXI, Seattle. It's 10 o'clock.
CBS News. Hundreds of Greek Cypriots are fleeing the capital of Cyprus as Turkish military forces continue on the move. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Despite the ceasefire announced by the Turks 2 days ago, UN forces on Cyprus say Turkish troops are in action near Nicosia and have cut one of two highways leading to the sea. In Washington, Defense Secretary Schlesinger was asked if the U.S. is planning to cut military aid to Turkey.
I would think that the spillover of the Turkish forces into areas that no one had expected them to move into is a new element of the problem, and that we will have to take cognizance of it. We've understood the desire of the Turks to protect the minority Turkish problem, but the Turkish moves at this point have gone beyond what any of its friends or sympathizers would have anticipated and are prepared, I think, to accept.
Schlesinger was on the CBS News broadcast Face the Nation. President Ford will fly to Chicago on Monday. The president will make a speech to the Convention of the Veterans of Foreign Wars. The president's family will be moving into the White House on Monday, packing up and leaving their home in Alexandria, Virginia. Sunday, several of Mr. Ford's neighbors gave the first family a farewell. President Ford says he is very close to naming a nominee for vice president. White House sources say only two people are being seriously considered, including former New York Governor Nelson Rockefeller. Newsweek magazine says the GOP chairman George Bush has slipped badly in the vice presidential sweepstakes. Newsweek says this is because of alleged irregularities in the financing of Bush's 1970s Senate campaign in Texas. The magazine says the Nixon White House poured money from a secret fund into the Bush campaign, and that $40,000 to $100,000 may not have been properly reported as required by election law. A newspaper article charges some members of Congress with racial discrimination in their hiring practices. Susan Peterson reports from Washington.
Senator William Scott of Virginia is one of 20 congressmen named in the newspaper article for practicing discriminatory hiring. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram obtained documents from the Congressional Employment Offices, which had written requests of whites only and no minorities under special requirements. Senator Scott was the only senator involved in the controversy, and he claims he and his aides never made such requests. Our office has never discriminated against any minority, the senator said, though he did admit he has never hired any blacks. Senator Scott voted against the Civil Rights Act and its amendments, feeling the federal government shouldn't meddle in such things. Reportedly, 15 of the other 19 congressmen mentioned in the article also denied the report. Susan Peterson, CBS News, Washington.
More news in a moment.
If you think the USO is just coffee and donuts and a Saturday night dance, listen to this.
I hope that you know and understand how myself and all the rest of us who have suffered the agony of alcoholism have appreciated your help. God has given you an innate ability to approach problems of others without becoming emotionally involved or letting them become so with you. If you had allowed me to become completely dependent upon you, the results would have been disastrous, and I would not possess the inner strength that is now allowing me to cope with this emergency situation. I will never forget how you never lost faith.
Those are the actual words of a serviceman. A serviceman who knows what today's USO can do for a guy in real trouble. We're concerned about a lot of serious problems. Remember, over 5 million American military personnel and their families need today's USO. We get no government funds, so please support USO through the United Way or local USO campaign.
I live on borrowed time, lest I forget what you have taught me.
About 80,000 coal miners will begin a 5-day work stoppage Monday. The walkout was called to commemorate coal miners who have died or been injured on the job. In Harlan, Kentucky, union spokesman Bernie Aronson said that calling attention to mine safety is especially vital at this time.
It's particularly important right now when coal miners are being asked to produce double and sometimes triple the current production, that the public understand that coal miners have already always paid a price for coal production in this country and that their price has been too high.
The Mine Workers Union says about 100,000 coal miners have died on the job during this century. Congress is expected to complete action Monday on legislation to create a task force to monitor wages and prices. Both the House and Senate have scheduled floor action for Monday. President Ford last week requested the action. However, some Democrats and some Republicans are skeptical whether the task force would do any good in lowering inflation. The task force would not have any enforcement power. A report published in the Journal of the American Medical Association says doctors may be wasting their time treating common staph infections with penicillin. The article says many staph infections have developed a high degree of resistance to the drug. The article also says switching to other drugs poses a problem. Alternate drugs may cost as much as 10 times as penicillin. A 14-year-old Canadian girl Sunday night began an attempted swim across Lake Ontario. Angela Kondrak began the 32-mile swim from Youngstown, New York. If she completes the swim, Angela will end up in Toronto Harbor. The swim will probably take between 18 and 20 hours. Thursday, another Canadian girl, Cindy Nicholas of Toronto, swam across Lake Ontario in record time, a little over 15 hours. Doug Poling, CBS News.
In CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, the weather outlook. Cloudy and cool with chance of a few showers through tomorrow night. Sunny periods tomorrow afternoon, but partly cloudy on Tuesday. The high is about 65, lows near 50. And currently in downtown Seattle, it's 60 degrees, the barometer steady at 30.03. Briefly in sports, a National Football League exhibitions here in Seattle before only 5,100 fans. St. Louis defeated San Diego 48-14. Denver down San Francisco 10-3, New England 7, New Orleans 3, and Buffalo beat Washington 16-15. In Major League Baseball, in the National League, Pittsburgh over Los Angeles, Cincinnati beat New York, St. Louis down San Francisco, Philadelphia over Atlanta, Houston blank Montreal, and Chicago beat San Diego. In the American, Texas down Cleveland, Baltimore on top of Kansas City, Boston beat Minnesota, New York took Chicago, Oakland defeated Detroit, and Milwaukee over California. It's 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Do come in. Make yourself comfortable, because I'm going to tell you a nice, quiet little ghost story. Nothing to frighten you. Not badly, at any rate. Nothing to make you run screaming into the street. No, the most this ghost story can do is make you snuggle down deeper under the covers and reach out for a hand to hold. A hand, I trust, that is firm and warm, not clammy and cold.
There are some who don't take too well to the idea of dying.
I can't say that I do myself.
Well, you look to me like one that would go quietly.
Do I really?
No fuss, no bother. Take it for what it is. The logical end to life. But those others, oh, look out for them.
I don't think I know what you mean. What others?
The ones that don't find death logical at all.
Our mystery drama, The Phantom Lullaby, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elspeth Eric and stars Rosemary Murphy and Arnold Moss. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah?
I would like to ask a deceptively simple question.
Okay.
I say deceptive because few people seem to know the answer.
Oh, go ahead.
Are you ready?
Yeah, ready as rain.
Okay.
No, wait. I think that should be right as rain.
Oh, well.
No, wait. Make that ready as I'll ever be, okay? Ready as I'll ever be.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, the question is this.
Yeah, go ahead.
What happens this time of year?
Huh? That's it.
That's the question.
That's the $64,000 question. That's the one. The one for all the marbles, right? That the one that's on everybody's lips, huh?
Yes.
That's the question. Well,
good.
As everyone should know, what happens this time of year is that Buick dealers are giving great deals on 1974 Buicks, which of course means that this time of year may very well be the best chance you'll ever have to buy a Buick. From the thrifty but surprisingly elegant Apollo to the dashing full-size LeSabre to the Electra, which, surprisingly enough, is the second largest selling luxury car in America.
Know it all.
How many things can your family do together? Go to a movie? Go to a circus? Go on a picnic? Go on a vacation? Face it, in today's America, family fun is hard to come by. And with busy schedules, just getting the family together is not an easy thing to do. How would you like to have a little family fun every week? How would you like to learn together? How would you like to grow together? And how would you like to help your son get an edge on growing up? Cub Scouting is helping families like yours be a family. It sure helped ours. Today's Cub Scout program is just as much for families as it is for boys. So when your son wants to join a Cub Scout pack, remember to take along the whole family. That's what Cub Scouting is all about. For the Cub Scout pack nearest you, call the Boy Scouts of America. They're in the white pages of your phone book.
I myself have never met a ghost. I don't know why. Perhaps something in my personality puts them off. But if ever I should, I hope he'll do something more than moan and sigh and clank chains. What I should really enjoy would be a nice chatty ghost who'd sit down and talk things over. Things like whether the life after death is really pleasanter than the one before. And if it is, why is it? Things like that. Things that only a ghost would know. Ah, well, perhaps one fine day, or some dark night, if I hold myself in readiness, my ghost will visit me. Meantime, relax, won't you? And listen.
Hello? Intercoastal Airlines? Well, can you tell me if Flight 509 from New York is on time? Yeah, I'll hold on.
Ellen's room is finished.
Good.
I've ordered new curtains. Oh, I hope she likes her room.
Oh, I'm sure she will. I'm sure she... Yes? Oh, it is. Well, good, good. Thank you very much. Plane's on time.
Well, you better get started then.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't be nervous.
I'm not nervous.
It'll only make her nervous if you're nervous. What are you in the closet for?
My overcoat.
It's on the chair.
Oh.
She's only been away 4 days.
It's not a question of how long she's been away. It's what she went away for.
I know that.
Well, then why say a foolish thing like only 4 days?
Please, please. I'm nervous, too.
Well, what do you think you're doing now?
This couch shouldn't be here. It should be over there.
That's an 8-foot couch. Don't try to move it by yourself.
I can do it.
Let me have the superintendent, please. Emily, will you stop that? I'd help you, but I have to get going. I don't want Ellen standing around the airport. Hello? This is Mr. Keene, Penthouse B. Yeah, we just moved in. We're not quite settled in yet, and I have to go to the airport to pick up my daughter. Could you possibly help my wife move a few pieces of furniture? No, we want the place to look extra nice. Our daughter's never seen it, and... Oh, that's great. That's just great. Thank you. Thank you very much. You'll be up in a couple of minutes.
Howard, do you think Ellen will like this apartment?
Well, I certainly hope so. It's costing an arm and a leg.
But with the terrace and everything, her own bathroom, a real dining room.
Well, the idea is to give her a change, new surroundings, blot out everything that happened.
As if a terrace and her own bathroom could take her mind off that terrible man.
Well, they'll help. I'm not saying completely, but they'll help. Give us something to think about besides John Draper and the rest of it.
seems strange. We never even met him.
I hope I never do meet him. Well, honey, I gotta get going.
Don't tell Ellen about this place. Let it be a surprise. And, Howard, be very, you know, gentle with her. Let her know we love her.
Yeah, I'll let her know. Well, I'm off. Oh. You're the superintendent.
Yeah.
I didn't hear you knock.
I was just getting ready to.
Well, come in. This is my wife. She'll show you what she wants done. Oh, and here's something for your trouble.
Okay.
Honey, I'll be back in an hour.
Good luck.
Take care.
Well, now.
You like this place?
Well, I'm sure we will like it. We just moved in.
I know. It's a nice looking apartment with a terrace and all.
First thing I want to do is move the couch over there to the long wall.
Everybody likes this place when they first move in.
If you take one end and I take the other.
1, 2, 3 months, then they start getting jumpy.
Jumpy?
They pay up what they owe on the lease and they move out.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, it happens every time. Well, let's move this thing if we're going to.
Let me move the coffee table first.
Oh, I'll do it. How'd you happen to hear it was vacant?
Well, actually, friends of ours called us. They'd met some people at a party who said they were giving up this beautiful apartment, and we thought
that would be the Winthrops. Yeah, they lasted 6 months. Where do you want this table?
Right where you're standing.
Okay. And before them was the Katzes, and before them the Millbrooks, and before them the Kramers, and before them...
Well, why did they all move out? What's wrong with the place?
Search me. They would never say any of them. Just paid up and moved out. Know what I think?
What?
I think the joint's haunted. Now, where does the couch go?
Enter, young lady.
Ellen. Darling, it's so good to have you back.
I'll put the suitcase in the bedroom.
When you see your bedroom, darling, make allowances for the curtains. I had to put up your old ones, and they're too short, but I'm expecting new ones, maybe today. Oh, I got you a new bed. Oh, heavens, the fuss they made about delivering it. So, what do you think? Do you like the apartment?
It's very nice.
Come, look at the view from the terrace. Come on. You can see for miles. Isn't that spectacular?
Spectacular.
Well, you can take a good look at it later. What would you like to do now?
I don't know.
Take a hot bath? You have your own bathroom now.
Really? Do I?
Or would you like to just sit and talk?
All right. If you want to.
Ellen, was the operation very bad?
You mean the abortion? No. It wasn't bad at all.
I'm glad of that.
I opened your suitcase. Let a little air in, huh? I didn't unpack anything, though.
I'll do it.
You want to do that now, dear? Maybe take that hot bath, and I'll start lunch, and then when it's ready, I'll call you.
All right.
Is the door on the right? Oh, here, I'll show you.
I find it.
And the bathroom opens right off of it. Howard, what's wrong with her?
I don't know. She was like that all the way in from the airport.
Like a sleepwalker.
Like a zombie.
Howard?
I'm making us a drink.
We need it.
How is she?
I guess she's all right.
Here's your drink.
She's lying on the bed just staring at the ceiling. I spoke to her, but she didn't answer me. So I didn't bother her.
That horrible man, he did this to her.
I wish she'd talked to me about him. But she never did say much except that she was seeing him a lot. And then when she told me she was pregnant, she said he didn't want to marry her, so she guessed she'd have an abortion.
Just like that.
Things have changed, though. The young people nowadays.
And the parents nowadays.
I guess so.
I should have insisted. I should have put my foot down, absolutely insisted.
Insisted on what?
Well, at least on meeting the guy, at least that.
That's not the way things are done these days.
Well, they should be. Look, do you think I ought to get in touch with him now?
Now? too late
but we
now.
We can't just leave her the way she is, walking around like an automaton. Maybe he could... Oh, I don't know. Maybe he could snap her out of it or something.
Maybe she'll snap out of it by herself.
If she was really in love with him...
She said she wasn't.
Well, maybe she was. Maybe she was and didn't know it. Anyway, I think he ought to see what he's done.
What good would that do?
I don't know. I don't know. Why don't you go and see if she's all right?
I don't like to disturb her.
Well, just knock on the door and see if she answers.
All right.
Well, the state she's in...
Ellen?
Oui, Mama?
I don't want to disturb you, dear, but I just want to make sure everything's all right.
Tout va bien.
I guess she's all right. Anyway, she answered me.
What did she say?
I couldn't make it out, but she sounded fine.
Well, that's good. Maybe it was just shock or something before.
Probably that was it.
Emily, if you get to talking to her, if she'll talk to you...
Oh, she will.
Ask her about this man. Hmm? What's his name again?
John Draper.
Yeah, ask her how she feels about him. You know, if she thinks about him, wants to call him up or anything, you tell her that it's all right with us.
Oh, and she doesn't care if it's all right with us. Young people don't these days. They just go ahead and do what they want to do.
Well, do you realize we don't know anything about this man? What does he do for a living, if anything?
He plays the piano. I think he gives lessons.
Where does he live?
Over on Market Street, I think.
Yeah, that figures. Has he got a phone?
I imagine so. I don't know.
Well, if he gives lessons, he's got to have a phone. It's got to be in the book. I think so. Anyway, here he is. Look. John... Draper, 121 Market.
You're not going to call him.
No, I'm not going to call him. I just want to know that he's alive and breathing somewhere in this town. If Ellen isn't better by tomorrow or the next day...
Howard, she will be.
Go knock on the door again, will you?
What'll I say?
Say anything. Say we're having a drink out here. Why doesn't she join us?
All right, if you say so.
But keep it light and, you know, cheerful.
Ellen, dear, your father and I are having a drink. Don't you want to join us?
Oh, maintenant.
How's that, dear?
Je suis occupée.
Well, whenever you're ready, we'd love to have you. I think a drink would do you good. Whenever you're ready. I guess she's all right.
But did she say she was all right?
I don't know what she said.
What do you mean you don't know what she said?
Ellen...
Are you all right, baby?
Je regrette, mais je ne peux pas vous joindre pour le moment. Je dois m'occuper de ces garçons. Excusez-moi, s'il vous plaît.
Howard.
Why, I didn't know she could speak French.
She can't.
Well, she just did. I understand enough French to know that.
What did she say? Could you tell?
Well, she said she couldn't join us just now because she had to take care of the little boy.
Do you agree with Anthony Trollope that the chief duty a parent owes a child is to make the child happy? I think I do. And I think in their more beneficent moods, most people do. Why, then, are there so many bitterly unhappy children? We may find out when I return shortly with Act Two.
Young I may be, but still I'm a man. Just turned 18 and I'll do what I can to find me a place where I can be me. Get ready for life and be free and see.
The new Navy. You'll get your chance at success, learn an exciting job, and see the world. Call toll-free 800-841-8000. That's 800-841-8000. Or see your Navy recruiter. Be someone special in the new Navy.
I know where I'm going from here.
solve your shopping problems. Your Better Business Bureau knows.
Honey, just look at this fantastic buy I made. This came from a catalog at $47.45, and the manufacturer's list price is $89.95. I can't believe it.
Well, don't believe it. Your $47.45 price is pretty good. Only I've been looking around, and believe me, no one is selling them for list price.
You mean I was taken? I got a bad deal? Gosh, I wonder how I could really find out.
Help you.
Who are you?
I'm the man from your Better Business Bureau. You know, catalogs sometimes list two prices for an item. One is the list price, and the other is what you pay. And the only way you can be sure is to shop around.
You are so smart.
Oh, not at all. Your Better Business Bureau is better information for consumers like you.
Keene, only daughter of Howard and Emily Keene, came home a little while ago after the removal of an incipient life from her body. In the new penthouse apartment her parents have rented in an anxious effort to lift her spirits, she has just now delivered her longest utterance since she arrived.
Je regrette, mais je ne peux pas vous joindre pour le moment. Je dois m'occuper du petit garçon. Excusez-moi, s'il vous plaît.
Howard?
Why, I didn't know she could speak French.
She can't.
Well, she just did. I understand enough French to know that.
What did she say? Could you tell?
She said she couldn't join us just now because she had to take care of the little boy.
What little boy?
Well, how should I know what little boy?
Howard, the operations affected her mind.
No, don't say that. That's not true.
It must have meant more to her than we knew.
How could we know she acted as though it was nothing?
That's how young people are these days.
I'm going to call that man.
John Draper? What good would that do?
He ought to know what he's done.
Howard, it isn't right to blame it all on him.
I don't care. Here's his number.
I don't see why you think he can help.
Well, maybe she still loves him. Maybe he can get through to her. Maybe.
Hello?
Mr. Draper? John Draper?
Yes?
I'm Howard Keene, Ellen Keene's father.
Yes?
Ellen came home a little while ago. I thought you might like to know.
How is she? Is she all right?
No, she's not all right.
What's the trouble? They didn't hurt her, did they?
Physically, she seems to be all right, but otherwise, she's not.
I'm glad you called me. What can I do?
My wife and I thought it might help if you came to see her.
Why, of course, right now?
If you can.
I'll have to cancel some lessons, but I'll be there as soon as I can.
Oh, hold on just a minute. We've moved to a new place.
Oh? You've moved?
Yes, we took a penthouse on the spur of the moment, just moved in this morning. It's at 42 Cedar Terrace. Do you know where that is?
42 Cedar Terrace?
Yes, penthouse B. Have you got that? Hello? Mr. Draper, are you there? Hello?
I'm sorry, Mr. Keene, but I'm afraid I won't be able to get there after all. Give Ellen my love.
Hello? Mr. Draper? Hello?
Howard?
I don't get it. He was very nice, very concerned about Ellen. He wanted to help. He wanted to come to see her right away. And then all of a sudden, when I gave him the address, he made a sudden switch and said he was sorry. He couldn't.
Why would he do that?
Thought it over, I guess. Decided he wanted no part of it.
But you said he sounded nice at first.
He's not going to get away with it.
Howard, what are you going to do?
What was his address again? It's right there in the phone book. I'm going to get him to see Ellen if I have to drag him here. Oh, what's the address?
121 Market Street. Howard, I wish you wouldn't go.
I'll be back in half an hour. You stay right here.
You think I should call Dr. Stone?
No, not yet. Well, what could we say to him? That our daughter talks to us in French when she doesn't know any French? That she says she has to take care of a little boy when there isn't any little boy? Now, you just stay here with her, and I don't think she'll get violent or anything like that, and I'll be back in half an hour with Mr. John Draper.
Oh, dear. Ellen? Ellen, honey? Ellen, don't you want to come out now and have some lunch? I could fix us both a sandwich and some soup.
Je suis occupée.
We haven't had a chance to talk.
Attends, Mama.
You're sure you're all right?
Tout va bien, Mama.
That's the phone buzzer from downstairs, dear. I have to answer it. Yes?
This is Super Mrs. Keene. I got a big package down here for you.
Package? What kind of package?
Well, it's big. It's from, Standish Decorators.
Oh, it must be the curtains for my daughter's room.
You want me to bring it up?
Yes. Would you please?
Yeah, I'll be right up.
Thank you. Ellen, darling? Ellen, the curtains for your room have come. You remember I told you I ordered new ones? What do you think? Should we take down the old ones and put up the new ones? I'm dying to see how they look. Ellen, dear? Ellen?
Voilà, mon petit. Ne pleure pas, ne pleure pas, mon petit.
Ellen? Ellen, answer me.
C'est bon, maman. Je suis occupée.
Dear God. I don't know what to do. I don't... Yes, I'm coming. I'm coming. Just a minute.
Your package, Mrs. Keene.
Thank you. Thank you.
You, okay, Mrs. Keene?
What?
You look kind of peculiar.
I do.
What's the matter? Ghosts been bothering you?
Ghosts?
I told you the place was haunted.
Yes, you did, didn't you?
Didn't think they'd be getting to you so soon, though.
Look, come in for a minute, will you? Do you mind? I'd like to talk to you.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Tell me why you say this apartment is haunted.
It was just a guess.
You don't really know, do you?
No, I don't really know about this apartment, no. But I know quite a lot about ghosts from personal experience.
Tell me what you know.
Well, I guess everybody knows that ghosts know more and know less than the spirits of the dead who won't leave the earth, right? I mean, that's pretty obvious, wouldn't you say?
I wouldn't know anything about it.
Oh, well, I thought everybody knew that. Well, that's what they are. The only difference between one ghost and another being why they won't leave the earth. Why they keep coming back to haunt. And there's various reasons why.
Like what?
Well, they could be there in love with some live person who returns that love even after death. That's one reason.
What other reasons are there?
Well, there's a ghost that won't admit to death, a ghost who resents the people who've gone on living. This, generally speaking, is the ghost of some person who is used to lording it over everybody in life and comes back to try to lord it over them some more. That's another reason for ghosts.
What other reasons?
Then there's the kind that just can't understand how it happened.
How what happened?
Death. Their own death. That's the kind of ghost I understand very well. My sister's one of those.
You mean your sister doesn't understand how she happened to die? Is that what you mean?
She was 12 years old. She was on her way to school. And a car came along with a drunken driver behind the wheel, and the car swerved up on the sidewalk and killed her. She never knew what happened. Before she knew anything, she was dead.
And her ghost comes back?
Every night. Every night I wake up and hear crying.
What do you do?
I try to explain it to her, but what can I say? It doesn't make any sense. A drunk in a car and her on her way to school?
No, it It doesn't make any sense.
Makes more sense to kill yourself, don't you think? That way you got something to say about how you go and when. Not just leave it up to some drunk in a car. Well, that's my opinion anyway. All right, I better be getting back downstairs.
Couldn't you just stay for a little while? I don't feel like being alone right now. My husband will be home in, about half an hour. He went to see somebody over on Market Street.
I can stay a little while if you like me to.
I'd appreciate it.
We'll talk about ghosts, huh? That's my favorite topic. Ghosts.
I'm looking for Mr. Draper.
I'm Mr. Draper.
I guess it's your son I'm looking for.
I don't have a son.
Oh, well, I expected. Well, I didn't know I'm Howard Keene, Ellen's father. I'd like to come in and talk to you.
Mr. Keene...
Please, it's very important or I wouldn't ask.
Come in.
Thank you very much.
Sit down if you want.
Excuse my staring at you. I expected a much younger man.
I'm 51.
It's just my age.
You said on the phone Ellen is all right.
No, I said that physically Ellen's all right. Why didn't you want to marry Ellen when you found out that she was pregnant?
I couldn't.
Well, you've got a wife?
I had a wife.
You're divorced.
Something I never talk about, Mr. Keene.
You never talked about it to Ellen?
I never talked about it to anybody. And I don't intend to.
Maybe you should.
I can't. Tell me about Ellen.
Well, she came home a little while ago. She was changed. She talked in monosyllables, short sentences at the most. And we thought after what she's been through, maybe that's only natural. So my wife told her to have a bath, take a nap, we'd have a drink, lunch. Well, while my wife and I were talking, Ellen came out of a room and spoke to us, quite a long speech. And every word of it in French.
In French?
Now, Ellen doesn't know any French. You never spoke to her in French, did you?
Never. Never.
Well,
never.
I just wondered.
What did she say in French?
Well, she said that... She said she was sorry she couldn't join us for a drink, but she had to take care of a little boy.
What little boy?
I have no idea.
Mr. Keene, after an operation like the one Ellen had, don't you think it's possible that... Well, that it's bound to have an effect on a woman, on her emotions, for a while anyway?
I don't want it to go on for too long, and that's why I called you.
You thought I could help?
I hoped you could. Get your coat. I've got a cab waiting outside.
Now I've told you everything I know about ghosts, Mrs. Keene. Have you seen the one that's haunting this place?
No. I'm not even sure there is one.
Well, I'll be getting on downstairs if you don't need me for anything.
Oh, well... If you could, I'd really appreciate your helping me put these curtains up. If you have the time.
Oh, yeah, I got a few minutes.
They're for my daughter's room. I'm not sure we should go in there. She's been resting. I'll tell you what, I'll knock on her door. If she's up, I know she'd love to see the curtains. Ellen, dear, it's Mother. The superintendent is here, and if it's all right with you, we'd like to put up the new curtains. You know, I told you before, they just came from the shop. Ellen, dear, I'm going to open the door and come in because I think you've been by yourself long enough. I really do. Ellen?
What's the matter?
Oh!
Okay, what? Good Lord.
She's not moving.
She's not breathing.
Her eyes wide open.
She's dead.
She's not dead. Don't say such a thing. Don't you dare say such a thing.
Mrs. Keene, what are you doing?
Calling the doctor, you fool.
Doctor won't do any good. She's dead.
Man is the only animal who knows that he will die. So said the great Voltaire. The knowledge that he will one day cease to live permeates man's days and poisons them a little. I think that if ever I am given another life, I should like to live it as a bird or a monkey or a chipmunk or a beetle. It doesn't add much to the enjoyment of life to know that it won't last long. I'll be back shortly with Act Three.
Ever had a tall, frosty glass of Amplitude? Well, if your beer is Budweiser, you've had it often. Amplitude is a fancy word for the entire taste phenomenon, the total experience of flavor. Next time you take a healthy swallow of Bud, watch what happens. Think about the sensations you're experiencing. Notice how the flavor of Bud comes on nice and easy. Not too strong, not too quick. Just right. Notice the clean, crisp togetherness of Bud's taste. Everything in perfect balance, with no single element jumping out at you. And there'll be no aftertaste either, no hanging on. And you'll be refreshed and ready for another glassful. Actually, Bud drinkers have been experiencing Amplitude for years, but they never phrase it that way. They just say Budweiser, and that says it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Dean Jones on location at the Lincoln Memorial for the United Way.
Of the people. By the people. For the people. It was true when he said it, and it's just as true today. The people are what made this nation great, and it's the people who will pull this nation through. But the nation is no better than you are. The nation is the sum total of every individual in it. I'm Dean Jones asking you to think about helping people in this nation. People in your town, your neighbors. Some of them need your help. Remember when this was a country where neighbor helped neighbor? This is a country where they still do. You can be part of one of the things that's right about America when you give your fair share the United Way. The United Way. Thanks to you, it's working.
Remember, I promised you a quiet little ghost story? I think I've kept my promise so far. Though, of course, in any story, there must be an explosion or two. At this moment, Mr. Keene, Ellen's father, is preparing to enter a taxi cab with Mr. Draper, Ellen's one-time lover.
You say you've been married?
Yes.
But you weren't divorced?
No.
Your wife died?
Yes.
I see. How long ago was that?
What?
How long ago did your wife die?
25 years ago.
Did you and your wife have any children?
Yes, one.
Where is the child?
Dead.
At birth?
No.
I feel a little bit like a heel asking you all these questions, but I'm concerned about my daughter.
I'm concerned, too, or I wouldn't have come with you.
I understand. I think I understand. You've never wanted to get married again, is that it?
Never.
Even after all these years?
I met my wife in Europe towards the end of the war. The big war. I'd been doing very well in business. I was on my way to making it big when I got drafted. I didn't like being drafted, but I went anyway, and she was the one bright spot in an otherwise drab and miserable army career. I brought her back here. She had a child, and they both died. I stopped making money. I started playing the piano, and I have been at it ever since then.
But you were in love with Ellen. I hope you don't mind my asking.
I don't know what that means, to be in love. I'm not saying there's no such thing, but if there is, I've forgotten, or I never knew what it's like.
I'm very sorry for you.
It's very kind of you, but don't bother.
Cedar Terrace is the next right turn, driver.
Are we nearly there?
Next right, about half a mile. My wife and I just moved in. We wanted to do something for Ellen. We heard through friends about this marvelous apartment that was suddenly available. A penthouse, of all things.
Penthouse B, you said?
Yeah, we took it on an impulse, thinking it'd be something for Ellen to come home to take her mind off everything. You know, what she'd been through.
That did it?
Well, no. No, she's hardly said a word about the place since I brought her home from the airport. She's hardly said anything about anything. Just a few words of French and that one thing about not being able to have a drink with us before lunch because she had to look after a little boy.
How could she speak French when she doesn't know any French? And what little boy did she have to look after? I don't understand any of it. Not any.
Hold on. We're almost there. Maybe Ellen will be all right, more of herself anyway, and then you can ask her. You just hang in there for a couple of minutes more.
Dr. Stone, what's wrong with Ellen?
Mrs. Keene, I can't detect any vital signs at all. I hesitate to pronounce her dead, but what can I say? I can find no pulse, no heartbeat, no reflexes. I've done everything I can think of. Injection, massage.
She's not dead. Tell me she's not dead.
Like you, I refuse to conclude that at the moment. But if your daughter is alive, Mrs. Keene, she is in the deepest coma I've ever encountered. It's as though she were not in or out of this world at all.
It's that tall building on the corner, driver, number 42.
A very tall building.
How's that?
I said it's a tall building.
Well, compared to the way they build them nowadays, it's not so tall, but I guess when they put it up, it was considered pretty daring.
Hey, what do you think you're doing?
I can't. I just can't.
You get back in there. Driver, stop the cab. Hey, stop.
I can't go up there. I can't.
I don't care if you can or can't. You're going to. Now, march. Won't you try anything now? I got hold of you.
I can't do it.
You let me pay the cab. Here you are, driver. Now you get going.
Mr. Keene, I know you think this is very strange.
You bet I think it's very strange.
I can explain.
After you've seen my daughter, you can explain. Now you get in the elevator there. Right now, Ellen's the only one I'm interested in. Push that button that says penthouse.
Penthouse B.
That's right.
Mrs. Keene, if Ellen isn't dead, and I'm still not convinced, then she's either in a very, very deep coma or... here I'm getting into territory that I don't understand at all. She's in a trance.
A trance?
We hear of these things, people who can control their body functions. I was told of a man who could make one half of his arm stone cold and the other half blood warm. He could do it at will, or so I was told.
I can't believe it. Do you believe it?
Mrs. Keene, there isn't a doctor alive today who would deny the power the human mind has over the human body.
But... oh, that must be my husband.
Yeah, well, I'll want to talk to him.
I'll only be a second. Yes, I'm coming. Howard. Mr. Draper?
That's him.
I'm Ellen's mother. Howard, I called Dr. Stone. He's with Ellen now. He wants to talk to you.
I'm in here, Mrs. Keene.
Dr. Stone, how is she?
She shows no vital signs of life at all.
You don't mean that she's dead? Oh, no, she can't be dead. Emily, what happened?
Mr. Keene... we don't know precisely what happened, and I don't... well, for some reason I can't really explain. I don't think she's dead. Either she's in a deep coma, or she's in a trance state.
Well, what's that, a trance state?
It's something medical men know very little about. So, I want your permission to take her to the hospital.
have her examined by another doctor there, and if he gives us no convincing diagnosis, we'll call in a psychic healer.
You have our permission to do anything you have to.
Of course.
All right, I'll call an ambulance.
Mr. Draper, I've been very rude. We've paid no attention to you at all. Thank you so much for coming.
It's quite all right.
You can see we're beside ourselves with worry.
Yes, I can see that.
There's an ambulance service. There's Dr. Stone.
Mrs. Keene, do you suppose that I could see Ellen?
Oh, I don't think so. Not now.
Why didn't somebody wake me up?
Ellen.
Thank you.
Darling.
Is it time for lunch?
Ellen. How do you feel?
Dr. Stone. What are you doing here? And John. You know, it's funny. I thought I heard your voice, but then I decided I must have imagined it.
Yeah, but how do you feel, Ellen?
Well, I feel perfectly fine. I had a wonderful sleep.
You're sure you feel all right?
Well, I just told you I feel fine. I was tired when Daddy brought me home from the airport, but I had a lovely nap, and now I'm fine. But what are you doing here? And John, how did you get here? How did you know where to come?
Your father, he told me.
Oh, really? Oh, that was nice. Then you've met.
Yes, we've met.
You'll stay for lunch, won't you, John?
Mother, is that all right? Is there enough for John, too?
Yes, dear, there's enough. But first, don't you think you ought to bathe and change your clothes?
I guess I should. I was going to do that before, wasn't I? When I first got here. But then I got busy with something or other, and I forgot all about it.
You want me to come with you, dear?
That would be nice. We haven't had a chance to talk, have we?
No, but we will.
See you off for lunch.
Yes, Ellen.
You'll stay, Mr. Draper?
I'm not sure that I can.
Please do. Ellen seems to want you to.
Mr. Keene, I don't know any of the whys or wherefores, but your daughter seems to be all right.
Yes, she seems to be.
All right. I'm going back to my office. I'll be there all afternoon. If anything happens to alarm you, please call me. I can be here in 5 minutes.
Thank you, Dr. Stone.
No, don't bother to come to the door. I'll let myself out.
I'm glad she's all right.
I suppose you don't believe there was ever anything wrong.
I don't know.
After all, you didn't see her when she was... well, the way she was.
I know your daughter very well, Mr. Keene. I know what a sensitive girl she is. I told you in the taxi that I didn't believe I knew the meaning of being in love. Now I'm not so sure. I think I was, in my own neurotic way, in love with Ellen. We were very close.
Well, why did you make such a fuss about coming here? Why did you try to jump out of the cab? What was that all about?
I had been here before.
When? When were you ever here?
I used to live here.
In this apartment?
Penthouse B, yes.
But when was this?
25 years ago.
You lived here with your wife?
Huh?
And your child?
Yes.
And your child was a little boy?
Yes.
How old was the child when he died?
2 years old.
And your wife, how old was she?
21.
They both died while you were living here. I can see why you wouldn't want to come with me.
It's not just that they died.
Well, what was it?
It was the way they died.
Tell me about it.
When I came back from Europe, see, I started up in business again. The business which the war had so rudely interrupted. I was determined to work my way up the ladder again, and I threw myself into my work. I think my wife felt neglected. Truth is, I did neglect her. But it wasn't just my neglect. She was a foreigner. Even after 3 years, she hadn't learned to speak English. She was shy. She didn't make friends. She was alone a great deal, except for the child. And one night, I was at my desk working over some papers when she came into the room with the child in her arms.
spoke to me. I don't remember what she said, but I remember that she spoke to me. I had every intention of answering her. But I didn't want to be bothered at that precise moment. Half a minute later, I turned around and she wasn't there. She had jumped from the terrace. She had jumped from the terrace with the child in her arms.
Good Lord. Do you think it's possible? I know how far-fetched it sounds, but is it possible that the little boy Ellen told us she had to look after was the ghost of your son?
I don't know what else to think. Do you?
Tell me something. What nationality was your wife?
My wife is French. It all begins to fit together, doesn't it? When you stop and think about it.
When you stop and think about it. You don't want to stop and think about it? That such things don't bear thinking about? All right. Don't stop. Go right on doing the things you've always done. Waking in the morning, putting in the hours until it's time to go to sleep again. Don't, for an instant of your busy day, think about such things. But that won't make the things go away. Now, will it? I'll return shortly.
Hey, we're the Action Corps.
See, we contribute more.
Cheese for the teamwork of our crew.
Aye, our ideals are high.
Oh, oughtn't you apply?
Means it's now that we need you.
A, C,
D.
Boy,
we could go on all day.
Oh,
here's why
volunteers are needed right away.
Action is VISTA, the Peace Corps, RSVP, SCORE, and other volunteer programs that are helping people to help themselves. If you are trained in a skill or just have a little love to share, Action needs you.
Action really needs you.
Don't crawl under a rock. Get into action.
Oh, yeah.
This is a public service of this station and the Advertising Council.
That was a quiet little ghost story, wasn't it? Just as I said it would be. Personally, I prefer ghost stories to be quiet. For ghosts, generally speaking, having no physical equipment, tend to be quiet. But like so many living people who are quiet, ghosts are also tenacious and persistent. And they are everywhere. Our cast included Rosemary Murphy, Arnold Moss, Mason Adams, Corrine Orr, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Now, a preview of our next tale.
You mean she felt that guilty about what had happened?
Hmm. Guilty enough to seek punishment for herself. And she did. She punished herself by losing the use of her legs.
And so your treatment was able to cure her.
Yes, I'm happy to say.
It couldn't cure me. See, I didn't lose the use of my hands for any kind of reason like that. I mean, it's just some sort of nerve damage.
Well, if that's the diagnosis of your physician, that it's purely physical and incurable.
But I didn't say that. See, I mean, my doctor has never used the word incurable. I have been hoping for years that it would just heal itself. I can't go on living like this. I want my hands back. Oh, dear God, I want my hands.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Thank you.
News is next on KIXI AM and FM in Seattle. In the weather outlook, cloudy and cool with chance for a few showers through tomorrow night, sunny periods tomorrow afternoon, partly cloudy on Tuesday. The high is about 65, the lows near 50. And currently in downtown Seattle, it's 58 degrees, 57 at the airport. The time, 11 p.m.
CBS News. UN observers on Cyprus say Turkish troops are continuing military operations in spite of a ceasefire the Turks declared 2 days ago. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The reports from Cyprus say the Turks are operating not far from the capital, Nicosia, and that the invasion force has cut one of two roads leading to the Mediterranean Sea. Hundreds of Greek Cypriots were fleeing the capital Sunday in spite of an appeal from Cypriot President Claridis that they remain. Outside the White House Sunday, about 20,000 people of Greek and Greek Cypriot descent demonstrated to protest the Turkish operations on Cyprus. Some of them spoke their feelings to reporters.
NATO weapons are being used by Turkey against the NATO ally, Greece. American dollars are supporting that, and they're killing Greeks. And the Turks are in... The Turks are exporting heroin to this country so that the young people in this country can use it and die on the streets of our cities. And what are we doing? We're paying for it to the Turks.
Turks out of Cyprus! That's what we want! Turks out of Cyprus! We want that out!
Defense Secretary James Schlesinger said Sunday the Turks have gone too far, and he indicated the U.S. might cut off aid to Turkey. More news in a moment.
I'm Ron Swoboda for CBS Radio. You can hear me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday now on Worldwide Sports. I alternate with colleague Pat Summerall, who's here every Tuesday and Thursday. On every broadcast, along with the latest scores, we try to bring you interviews with top figures in the world of sports and then give you a good idea of what's coming up. Join Pat and me, won't you, for complete national and international sports coverage on Worldwide Sports every Monday through Friday over the CBS Radio Network.
Once upon a time, there came to pass a new law, and great changes came over the people. They were happy and busied themselves at work they enjoyed. They were kind to the earth, and it gave back to them. No one had to lock doors or put fences around their land. Everyone had enough to eat. The sick and the aged were cared for. The people stood proud and tall.
In the land of make-believe, there were no poor. The Campaign for Human Development is working to make the same thing happen in our real world.
Campaign for Human Development, United States Catholic Conference.
President Ford says he is very close to making a decision on who to nominate for vice president. That decision may be announced in a day or so. White House sources say one of the top contenders is former New York Governor Nelson Rockefeller. Monday, the Ford family will move into the White House from their home in Alexandria, Virginia. The president on Monday will fly to Chicago to speak to the convention of the Veterans of Foreign Wars. House Republican leader John Rhodes said Sunday he thinks former President Nixon should come forward and publicly admit the role he played in the Watergate cover-up. Rhodes says he thinks that eventually Mr. Nixon will do so. Senator Strom Thurmond, Republican of South Carolina, says he does not think Mr. Nixon should be prosecuted.
I think when a man gives up the presidency of the United States under the circumstances he did here, that probably that's enough punishment. You see, he didn't embezzle any money, he didn't steal any money, he didn't shoot anybody, he didn't commit any violence, and probably his greatest fault here was loyalty to the people that got him into this trouble. And I think most Americans with whom I've talked, and most with that I've heard express themselves, feel that having to give up the presidency of the highest office in the whole world is probably sufficient punishment.
Senator Thurmond was in Miami Beach attending a convention. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram says 20 members of Congress have discriminated against racial and religious minorities in the hiring of people for their staffs. The paper says the congressman requested that certain minorities not be considered when the lawmakers made their personnel requests through the placement center in the House. Asked about the report, House Speaker Carl Albert had this response.
All I know is hearsay. I know as far as my office is concerned, there has never been any such practice. I have about every race and nationality, a national origin person, creed, that you can find in the country. In my office, of Indians, blacks, whites, Catholics, Protestants, Jews, and I never asked them their religion or their race when they came to work.
Alpert appeared Sunday on the ABC broadcast Issues and Answers. A military cargo plane with seven crewmen aboard is missing on a flight from South Carolina to Bolivia. The plane lost radio contact Sunday afternoon shortly before it was due to land at La Paz Airport. The plane is an Air Force C-141. Dr. Charles Willey, the highest-ranking layman in the Episcopal Church, resigned Sunday as vice president of the House of Deputies and from his position as a member of the Executive Council of the Church. Dr. Willey had said he would do this to protest church action invalidating the ordination of 11 women as priests. Dr. Willey said the church was guilty of inhuman treatment of women. He termed the invalidation of the ordinations an ugly act of male arrogance. During the days when American troops were fighting in Vietnam, there were many battlefield complaints about the Army rifle, the M16. Some soldiers said the M16 often jammed in combat, and some said it resulted in American troops losing their lives. At the time, the Pentagon denied there was anything wrong with the M16. They said any jamming in combat was the fault of the soldiers for not maintaining their rifles properly. But now a new report issued by the Army says production of the M16 was ordered in spite of known deficiencies. The report suggested a major cause of the trouble was the need for a large quantity of rifles in a very short time. Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI with the time now 6 minutes past 11.